chapter 21. It amazes me, it really does. It amazes me when I think about some of the things Brother Luke was bringing out in our Sunday school class. In all the times that God's people went astray, in all the times that error crept in, and all the times that God had to bring judgment upon his people, and all the times that God's people got messed up, the Word of God was always there. That says so much to me. In the midst of all that getting messed up, God preserved his word. His word was always there. What does that say about us? What does that say about maybe the depravity of man, that even though the word was there, God's people could get away from it and get their lives in a mess? Still works that way today. God has preserved his word through all the periods of history. It is still around today. God's word is still available. And yet, we get our lives messed up. And yet, we get ourselves in such a way as to be out of God's will and to bring his judgment. Oh, God, help us to realize his word is always there. We're without excuse in going into error and away from the Lord and having issues. His word is inspired and it's profitable. He's given us in his word all things that pertain unto life and godliness and all that we need to live a life that's pleasing unto him. It's right here in our hand. Right here in our hand. I hope it's in your hand. Because increasingly in our day and time, in this day of technology, we don't have the word of God in our hands very often. We've been seeing on Sunday nights the scribes and the Pharisees and the adversaries of Christ asking him, by what authority, what right do you have to say these things? What right do you have to do these things? And he basically responded unto them, I have all authority. Just as John's authority came from above, my authority to do all that I say and do is from above because I'm from above. I have all authority. Therefore, he said to his church, go ye. He authorized his kind of church. And he gave his kind of church the word of God. It's still here today. The final rule of faith and practice, God's word. And he says, I have given my church as preachers. Well, what is their job? Their job is to preach the word. Preach the word. All authority is given unto him. All authority he gave to his church to go forth. He gave us the authority of his word and he gave us preachers to preach the word. So what's our excuse this morning? I think the phrase I've said 3 or 4 times already. What's our excuse for being so messed up? for getting so far away from the Word of God. We're without excuse. And that's why we're gathered here. Been speaking recently on Wednesday nights about how routine going to church is. How routine it is. And how we might be bored and wonder why we do what we do, and is there any effort or reason to it? It's routine, but it is also a great privilege to gather, to worship in spirit and in truth. And one of the reasons we gather is to hear from His Word. All comes back to His Word. We're without excuse because He's given His church authority. He's given His church His Word. He's given His church preachers who will preach His Word. And Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, we come into this place, and what do? We open the Word. We open the Word. So we are definitely without excuse if our life isn't what it ought to be, because He has certainly given us the operating manual in this book we call the Word of God. Genesis chapter 21, next portion of Scripture from Genesis is verse 22 through 34. Genesis 21, 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves, and Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his hosts, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. I see this 22nd verse through verse 34 as the next text, the next portion of Scripture, the way it falls out before me and in my mind as the Lord has led. I see this particular passage of Scripture being able to be divided into maybe three parts. Verse 22 through 24 has Abimelech coming back, and him and Abraham entering into an agreement of such. Verse 25 through 31 deals with a well that Abraham had dug, but it looks as though had been taken from him by Abimelech's forces. And then verse 32 through 34 being the last portion. And I think we will probably look at this reading in those three parts. Try to keep in mind the text that we read from week to week. Try to keep in your mind the setting of these passages of Scripture. Try to keep in mind the context of these things. Expository preaching, expository teaching is when you take a complete text, a text that I describe as having a beginning, a middle, and an end. You take a complete text and you consider the who, what, where, when, and why. You do a thorough examination of the text. And then you ask what the Lord was saying to these people in this text. And then what is the Lord saying to us in this text? Isaac has been born. Hagar and Ishmael are driven out. Verses 1 through 17 of chapter 20 was all about Abimelech. And so following Isaac's birth and Ishmael and Hagar being driven out, Abimelech comes back on the scene to visit Abraham. If you can keep these texts in mind as we move from one to the other, when I don't spend much time looking at them from that expository perspective, you ought to have all of those questions answered, which will make up for our failing to look at verse by verse, verse after verse, of the context. In this first portion today, Abimelech revisits Abraham, and he brings with him, I would say, his general, the general of his forces, the general of his army, the chief commander of his army. He was a king. And he visits Abraham and he brings Phicol, the chief captain of his hosts, with him to speak unto Abraham. And he says, God is with you. It is obvious to us. It is obvious to us that God is with you. And not just that God is with you in the spectacular, but it is obvious to us, Abraham, that God is with you every day. God is with you in all things. Some would say the routine things. Some might say the normal things. It has appeared to us, Abraham, that God is with thee in all that thou doest. in all that thou doest. They could see the hand of God upon Abraham. And that certainly goes back to how God spoke to Abimelech in chapter 20. It has certainly been followed up by the birth of Isaac, that miraculous thing and event. It has certainly been supported by all that they've seen God doing for Abraham, and they didn't want to be on the wrong side of that. Not only did they not want to be on the wrong side of that, they wanted to be on the right side of that. We have seen that God blesses you in all that you do. We would like to have a peace agreement, a peace treaty with you. And I think part of their reasoning is God is with Abraham and all that he does, and we want some of that to rub off on us. We don't want to get the God of Abraham angry or agitated. We need to have a peace treaty, an agreement with him, so that maybe God will bless us or some of that would rub off on us. He says in verse 23, "Now therefore swear unto me by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my sons, nor with my sons' sons." It is apparent to us, Abraham, God blesses you in all that you do. Give me your word that you'll not deal falsely with me. Give me your word that we can be neighbors and we can live in peace. Give me your word that you'll not deal falsely with me, my sons, or my grandsons. He wanted this to be a far-reaching peace treaty, if I can get away with, again, referring to it as such. God blesses you in everything. We want to be on your good side. So let us enter into this covenant. Let us enter into this agreement that you'll not deal with us falsely. Let's enter into a covenant, Abimelech or Abraham, that you will deal with us according to the kindness that we have shown to you. You remember when God got hold of Abimelech, opened his eyes to the fact that Sarah was indeed another man's wife. Abimelech heaps upon Abraham much wealth, benefits, returns Sarah to Abraham untouched, tells Abraham, "Abraham, you can go anywhere you want to in my kingdom. You're welcome. You're welcome anywhere in that place where I have authority." He dealt kindly with Abraham. And Abimelech says to Abraham, "Give me your word that you will deal with us according to the kindness that we have shown you." That we have shown you. And Abraham said, "I will swear." He gives his word. They enter into a covenant, one with another. We have seen God's hand upon you. We want to be in good communion with you and fellowship with you. We want to dwell at peace with you, and we'd like your word that you'll deal with us according to the kindness that we have shown you. And they enter into that agreement. In these verses that are before us, we'll just look at these first three today. Abimelech and Phicol, and obviously all the people of his kingdom. This huge operation that was Abraham's family, the multitudes that were a part of it, the servants that were a part of it, the flocks that were a part of it. I mean, it was probably like as they sat there in Abimelech's kingdom and they saw Abraham's place out there, it was like another kingdom was passing by. It was quite something to behold. And they wanted smooth, neighborly communion one with another. And it occurred unto them, all of those of Abimelech's kingdom, that God was with Abraham in all that he did. Not just, one guy put it this way, not just in the spectacular, God spends maybe more time in the routine and in the normal day-to-day lives of his people. God spends more time there than maybe God spends in the spectacular demonstrations, the miraculous demonstrations. God is with you in everything, everyday things. God is with you. God has so blessed you, Abraham. God has so blessed you, and he blesses you in the everyday ways and all that is a part of your life. And those who live around us, those who we work amongst, those of your family who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, those who observe us, the world should see God in us, and the world should see God blessing us in the routine everyday occurrences. Is there a day he does not bless you? Is there a day he doesn't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing? Is there not a day, in spite of the difficulties and the challenges of life, is there a day when God isn't good to you and me? Well, we need to let the world see that. Too often, all they see from us is griping and complaining and finding this problem and that problem. And, well, how's it going? Well, you don't want to know. It's not going good. That's the wrong picture that the world should have of God's people. The world should see in us God's blessings upon us in the everyday. In the everyday. It's every day that God blesses you and all those that surround your little encampment, whoever they are, they should see, hey, there's something different about this person. I can see God's blessings upon them day after day, day in and day out. In the book of Genesis, chapter 12, go back a few chapters with me. Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Okay, we understand that. We've got this picture, don't we? God said, get up and go, and I will. Abraham believed God, and he did. God promised to make of him a great nation. God promised to bless him. God promised to make his name great. But what else do we find here that God promises? God promises in the last part of verse number 2, thou shalt be a blessing. Thou shalt be a blessing. Not only will I make thee a great nation, not only will I bless thee, not only will I make thy name great, but I'm going to make you a blessing to other people. A blessing to other people. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Thou shalt be a blessing. I'm going to make you a blessing to others. That's what God is doing here with Abimelech. He's making Abraham a blessing to Abimelech. And Abimelech wants to have a good relationship with Abraham. He has seen God blessing him in the everyday routine things. And he wants to be on the right side of that. On the right side of that. And I will bless those that bless you. We have shown kindness unto you, Abimelech said. Now, all we ask is that you show kindness in return. And God had promised that. God had called Abraham to that. You will be a blessing. And Abraham had been a blessing to many. And he had been a blessing to Abimelech. And the world should see that in us. We hear about it, and I state this often, and you hear it often in preaching and teaching. But we can't be reminded about it enough. God is watching, the world is watching you. That's not paranoia, that's fact. God is watching you. People are watching you. God's watching you too. Don't let that slip by, but the world is watching you. What are they seeing? What are they seeing? Are they seeing that God blesses you in the everyday, day-to-day life, experiences and occurrences? Are you a blessing to those around you? Are you a blessing? Abraham was. God promised he would be. The world is not watching just to see the miraculous, but the world is watching to see the routine. You get up every day and you head out every day to your routine. The world's watching. Do they see the blessing of God upon you? We talk about Wednesday night and have talked about it being so routine, and because it's so routine, maybe are feeling bored or like, what a waste of time. Is there someplace else we could be or something else we could be doing? Every Wednesday we come to the house of the Lord. Do you realize the world is watching? There they go again. They got that Bible in their hand. There they go again. Must be Wednesday. Must be Wednesday. The world is watching. The world sees us in these routine everyday things. And they ought to see God's blessings upon us. I think it was last Wednesday I got into this a little bit. My, aren't we a blessed people? With all the sin and the wickedness and the perilous days around us, how messed up things can be and just seemingly just get worse and worse, He blesses us. He blesses us. What a good, comfortable life He has blessed us with. Oh, I'm not rich. No, but you're blessed. And I would put before you, it's better to be blessed than to be rich. I would put before you this morning, you can't separate being blessed from actually being rich. Because if you are blessed, then you're rich in the things that really matter. And if all you have is riches without blessing, it's a pretty empty thing. It's a pretty hollow thing. The world should see in us God's blessings, God's goodness in the day-to-day routines, in the day-to-day schedules. Promise me you'll return unto me my kindness. There's such a circle here. God tells us to be a blessing. He called Abraham to be a blessing. So Abraham was a blessing to Abimelech, though he didn't realize it at the time, and he had taken Sarah and he shouldn't have, and he was afraid of what God was going to do. Abraham was being a blessing to Abimelech, so Abimelech showed a kindness to Abraham in releasing Sarah and putting these wealthy possessions into his hand. Well, then the circle keeps on going back, because as Abraham has been a blessing to Abimelech in all of these things in chapter 20, Abimelech shows a kindness to Abraham. Now he comes back to full circle here in chapter 21. As I have shown you kindness, show me a kindness. Treat me accordingly. Just keeps going around, doesn't it? There's a lot of talk in our day and time about acts of kindness. Acts of kindness. Little is understood about what those acts are. But Abraham was called of God to be a blessing, to bestow acts of kindness. He had done that upon Abimelech. He prayed for him, and Abimelech's household was healed. Abimelech showed a kindness unto him because of that kindness. Now he's asking Abraham to repeat it. And everybody's doing acts of kindness, and everybody is seeing the hand of God upon Abraham, upon this man called Abraham. Abraham was the friend of God. We've looked at that in the past lessons extensively. But he was a friend of God because God said, get up and go and I will bless you. Abraham not only got up and went and believed the promises of God, but he kept getting up and he kept on believing and he kept on trusting. He kept on getting up and going. And he was found to be the friend of God. And the closer Abraham got to God, to put it in simple terms, maybe a little rude to some's liking, the closer Abraham got to God, the more God rubbed off on Abraham. The more like God Abraham became. It works that way. The closer you and I get to God, the more He's going to rub off on us. The more like Him we're going to be, and the more of a blessing we're going to be to others. and the more kindness we'll be able to show. We see in the story of Abraham, he wasn't perfect. He had his problems, but God always provided. And Abraham kept on trusting, kept on believing, kept on getting up and going, kept on trusting everything God had said to him. And Abraham was a blessing. And as he was a blessing to others, others in turn were a blessing to Abraham. And in the end, God was blessing Abraham most of all. And we can put ourselves in Abraham's position this morning. As we believe and as we get up and go and as we trust God, he's going to make us a blessing to others. And as we're a blessing to others, they're going to in turn want to be a blessing to us. And as they seek to be a blessing to us, we're going to in turn seek to be a blessing to them. And on and around it goes. And we find ourselves close to God, the friend of God. And we find God rubbing off. We find ourselves becoming more like him. And when you become more like God and I become more like God, what does that make us? Makes us more pleasing to him. More pleasing to him, more pleasing we are to him, the more he's going to bless us. He's not only the God of the spectacular and the God who parts the waters and the God who brings a child to a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. He's not only a God of the spectacular, but he's a God of the ordinary, the routine. And God is so good to us on a day-to-day basis. And we ought to reflect that so that others see him within us. And we in turn are a blessing to them. Let's stand together. Close with a song.